Hi, welcome to Nick Luck Daily. It's Wednesday, the 14th of September. Tom Stanley in for Nick today and joined by broadcaster and journalist Jane Mangan to, in the main, reflect on Irish Champions Weekend. I know it has been and gone, but the last couple of days there's been some fallout regards attendances. It was my, Jane, first experience of Irish Champions Weekend. I came away with nothing but positives. But that, of course, was before the attendances were released. And there's no doubt that as far as footfall through the gates go across the 2 days, it was disappointing. Particularly, I suppose, Saturday, fantastic racing and beautiful weather. Sunday would not have been helped by the rain.
No, but it does follow the trend. So just to start with Irish Champions Weekend, the product delivered what it promised. The racing was top class. We had international competitors. We had the best jockeys on show. We had equine horse performers that you would expect for such a meeting. And I do think the product itself delivered. But I did turn around, looked out over the grandstand pre-Irish Champions Stakes, the same way I would turn around at Christmas before the Lexus Chase or the Irish Champion Hurdle in February. And for those two jump meetings, you would not see the floor. You would just see people, a sea of people. And I looked out pre-Irish Champion Stakes and I saw concrete. And I knew we were in trouble then. And we didn't have the atmosphere that I was hoping that we would get. And I'm being really harsh here because I thought it was everything a jumps meeting should be. And I can't fathom why we haven't captured the audience to come to the races, because anybody who knows Leopardstown knows we're on the foot of the capital city. Dublin has a population of around 550,000, I think. And we got 10,000 people through the turnstiles. Some people will say, oh, you know, Garth Brooks was on and people, you know, cost of living crisis, can't afford to do everything. Well, I wouldn't concentrate too much on that because, you know, over five nights works, they were expecting to have 400,000 people attend those Garth Brooks concerts and we couldn't get 10, or we just got over 10. For whatever reason, we're not resonating with the wider audience. I was actually in RTE headquarters on Friday night and a colleague of mine there had no plans for Saturday. So I invited her to come to the races. We look after you. You'll have a good day. You're from Dublin. If you don't like it, you can go after a couple of races. And I still couldn't get her to come. So the product itself is top drawer. Why we're not getting people through the gate, I don't have the answers, and I'm not criticizing anybody from the marketing department or anybody. We are active on social media. We are doing everything that we should be doing, but yet I think we're missing the target. You mentioned the Curra on Sunday. Yes, the weather was a bit of a damp squib, but again, four Group 1 races and everything you would have wanted from the staying champion basically being crowned, to the European Sprint Champion basically being crowned, and two-year-olds, you know, putting their head above the parapet. But again, 6,700 people, it's just not good enough. Because I go to Royal Ascot and I'm wowed. Go to the Arc in France, it's brilliant. Never been to the Breeders' Cup, it's on the agenda. Melbourne Cup in Australia, it is world-renowned. And this is Ireland. This is a country renowned for its horse racing and for being brilliant at it. And yet we don't have one of those big carnivals. This is it. This is our weekend. This is what we work our entire season towards. And while the product is there, the people are not coming. And we need to work on that.
Yeah, it's left me in a little bit of a sort of a quandary, really, because I certainly came away from Saturday thinking it doesn't get much better than that. Yeah, and the weather was a huge part of that on the Saturday. But like you say, if that, as far as the product goes, the brilliant racing on Saturday, There was no weather excuse not to come. It really had everything you wanted as far as a top quality day's racing goes. It ticked all those boxes. So if you're not getting them in for that, then you've got problems. But you, what, from what you're saying, a jumps meeting, you know, Dublin Racing Festival in February, that doesn't struggle in any way, right? So is it a disconnect with the flat game in Ireland?
See, a lot of people will point to that and say, oh, jumping is just more popular. But again, all the meetings that I've mentioned internationally that are the draw for everybody around the world is flat. You know, the Royal Ascot Arc, Breeders' Cup, they're all flat. So I don't want to blame the discipline of racing either. I feel that we're not capturing the imagination of the audience, and we're certainly not, people in the capital aren't even aware a lot of the time that it's happening. So we need to push harder. We could sit on our hands and say that was a brilliant Irish Champions weekend, because in a lot of ways it was. But yes, the curve of attendance is falling steeply. And are we going to accept that, oh, that's just the way the curve is going, it'll come back around? Or are we going to actually turn, you know, make things happen for ourselves and say, we're missing a trick here. We need to bang the best minds in the game together. We're smart. We have great people in this game. We need to make it better.
Okay, you mentioned on the Sunday in particular some top two-year-old performances. The news broke yesterday, or I say news broke, I think it's what we'd all feared, really, that Little Big Bear Jane wouldn't be seen again. And now that is confirmed this season, I hasten to add. Where does that leave us with the top two-year-olds then? Because Tahira was quite frankly stunning, I thought, at the weekend on Sunday in the Moy Glare. Who's top of the two-year-old tree at the moment? And can anything, now we're not going to see Little Big Bear again this season, do you think anything will surpass him by the end of the year?
I would be very surprised if anything surpassed that performance in the Phoenix. But we'll just look at the time form top ratings for two-year-olds now after the weekend. Little Big Bear is 126p at the top. Clear of Noble Style, the Jim Crack winner who didn't come to the National Stakes. He's on 119p, so £7 behind. Tahira slots in at third. She's 116 big P for time form. And yes, I agree. I thought she was the one who announced herself as a potential future champion, sister to Tanawa, and very much making her own reputation. Now, Alrifa...
Sorry, Jen. It wasn't amusing, but speaking to Dermot Weld, all the different TV channels that did speak to him afterwards, I think everyone was sort of holding their breath thinking, please, can we see her again this year? Please, can we see her again this year? And Dermot, with his sort of little wry smile, suggested, that's quite enough for this year, which it looks as though the next time we see her is going to be in a Guineas trial in the spring, which is a shame.
Yeah, you and everybody else. I was watching and I knew exactly what Dermot was about to say. And I was thinking, pre-Marcel Busak, please.
Please, yeah, no.
No, but it's a well-trodden path. And I think Dermot well knows better to train than you and I, but from a fan's perspective, you want to see those. And we got excited on Sunday, and we'll be excited for her for next season. Alrifa Chaldean, who was very good last weekend, Marshman, they're all on 114p ahead of Bradzell and Trillium, who got up to beat the Platinum Queen on the line on Sunday as well. So they're your top two-year-olds. Can I see anything surpassing Little Big Bear? In a short answer, no.
And we're going to have a chat with Charlie Fellows, whose juvenile ran disappointingly in the National Stakes Marban. I'll grab him very shortly. But just while we're on ratings, has anything come out of the three-year-olds with regards to Luxembourg's performance? Where does he rate amongst the three-year-olds this year?
Yeah, for relative comparisons, I said I stay with time form, and Luxembourg joins Desert Crown at the top of the three-year-old table. They're both rated 128p. They're ahead of the ill-fated Caribus, Ernesto, and Vedeni on 127. So Luxembourg, it was a mammoth training performance. I've seen Aidan O'Brien do great things, but I genuinely couldn't believe when I saw Luxembourg pre-race in the ring how fit he looked and how ready he was for that assignment, given how basically he didn't tick any of those boxes in the Royal Whip. So an incredible performance from him. And I must say, Ryan Moore, Is there anybody in the world riding better than Ryan Moore right now? We wax lyrical about a lot of jockeys. We talk about interference a lot. We talk about all these different variables when it comes to riding. But I think Ryan Moore, because he just gets the job done, nobody really takes any notice of how he is a master of his craft.
Yes, and I think this year in particular, and given what we measure Ryan against, it almost feels strange to say he's riding at the very top of his game, because we've just come to expect that. But I, you know, naturally there are peaks and troughs in anyone's career. You don't stay at exactly the same level year in, year out in whatever you do. And I feel that, as you say, without a doubt, he is right at the very top of what he's capable of at the moment. And that was a brilliant ride. The Aga Khan's team, Jamie, have come out and said they're not ruling anything out for Vedaney going forward. It has been mentioned that with regard to an ARC bid, joining Luxembourg there and hopefully Baïd as well, what a race that would be. They're not completely convinced stamina-wise. That would be a slight concern, a mile and a half at Longchamp. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't go a mile and a half with him because I think he has the pace and the speed and the turn of speed as a speed horse. I don't see him a mile and a half horse myself, but he is out of a Monson mare and maybe that will shine through. But from the side on angle at Leopardstown, you could see he was the real last to make his challenge. Luxembourg and Onesto had been rolling from three out before the turn in, and they started to grind at the quarter pole. Whereas Christoph had really yet to ask for effort, and when he did, the horse immediately quickened, but he ended up going left inside. And I'm not going to say he was unlucky, but Christoph wanted to come down the outside, but the wily Colin Keane and Mishriff kept him tight, and that wasn't an option for him. So it got a little bit tactical for Vedaney in the Irish Champion Stakes. I wouldn't get one bit disheartened by that at all, but it's a top level race with the best jockeys in the world. Obviously things are going to get a bit tactical, and I'd say if any horse got a little bit of a short straw, it was probably him.
Right, as promised, here's Charlie Fellows.
Charlie, first things first, you reflect on the national stakes, and you must have come away very disappointed. Has anything come to light?
No, nothing at all. He's good as gold. Literally, I can see him going for a hat cancer. I promise you, as we speak, out on Warren Hill, he's just taken that ball very well. You know, we thought he'd love the ground. He's got a little bit of a knee action, and we thought that it wouldn't be a problem. But Jamie is utterly convinced that he hated the ground. He travelled really well, came there looking like he was going to have play a proper part, and just wheel span as soon as he asked him to turn into fourth and fifth gear, and he just said I couldn't get any traction. So I think we've just got to presume that that's what it was. We know he's a better horse than that. It's a shame because, you know, when you step them up to that level, you really hope that they're going to go close. I think it was a track that really suited him, but wasn't to be. But there'll be other days for him. He's a lovely horse going forward. I'm sure he will be able to prove himself at the top level at some point.
Are you tempted to draw stumps for the season or go again?
I think that there's only one real option now, because the plan had been to run there and then maybe head to France with Lagardère. You know, again, very much under the premise that he wants soft ground. That's obviously gone slightly out the window. And with the Lagardère normally always plenty of cut in the ground, I think probably ignore that. We might look at the Dewhurst. He is in the Dewhurst, and as everyone knows, if you're going to get quick ground later on in the season, it'll be at Newmarket. Undulating track, but he handled Goodwood no problem. So I think we will have a look at the Dewhurst, see what conditions are like, and if that comes up soft, then that will probably be him for the year. The other option was the Breeders' Cup as well, but again, that's in Keeneland this year, and often you're getting soft ground there. So I think it's probably Dewhurst or nothing.
Okay, and both Dewhurst or nothing are two realistic options at this stage. You're not leaning one way or the other.
Yeah, and if it is nothing, it's not a problem. I would love to finish on a better note than we have. But it's he's had plenty of racing, five starts as a 2-year-old. He's a lovely big horse. He's only going to improve next year. So it's not a disaster if we don't run into Dewhurst. But if conditions are perfect and he's in good form, then it'll be under serious consideration.
Let's look ahead to Ayr if we can. Two horses in the Ayr Gold Cup, Charlie, they're both likely runners?
Two, which is nice. They're both going to, the plan is to run both. Vadream, back to form last time out in a listed race at Newmarket. Interestingly, the handicapper for being beaten ahead in the listed race dropped her £2. The third and the fifth have gone and finished first and second at Donny in a listed race last week. So the form has been upheld. I was very surprised that she got dropped. I mean, annoyingly, the weights are out for the Ayr Gold Cup, so it hasn't made any difference to her weights on Saturday. But I just thought it was a strange call. But she's in really good order. The track will really suit her. I think a big field suits her. I wouldn't want the ground to dry out too much, but it's not going to. It should be beautiful. I'd say good ground by Saturday, which is lovely. And I think the change from a visor to cheap piece has really helped her. I think the visor lit her far too much in France.
And
Holly Doyle will ride her.
That was my next question, because I know how busy we are on Racing TV. There's plenty of meetings. Is this traditionally a tricky weekend, jockeys-wise?
Do you know what they all are at the moment? Because they can only ride at one meeting now a day. When you get five or six meetings on a weekend on a Saturday, which seems to happen very regularly now, it's not easy. I agree with the rule, but it's not easy. But luckily, I think I'm sorted for the weekend, which is great. So Dolly Hoyle will ride Vadream. Ross Orion, I can't sort the letters around, but it's the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that doesn't work.
Ross Orion's going to ride Chief of Chiefs. He is in cracking form. He normally has a mid-season break, and he hadn't had one this year. He ran flat as a pancake last time out, which is very unlike him. Normally, you can set your clock by him at Ascot. He's had a little holiday since then. This has been the plan. He will love the ground. We've always wanted to run him in this race, but for various reasons, it's just not happened. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Loves a big field. 6 furlongs, perfect on decent ground. So he seems in great order too.
Equal chances, or is there one that's sort of sticking out in your mind with a better chance?
No, do you know what? I wouldn't spit him. If I'm honest, I'd say both have very, very good chances. I think both would be really suited by conditions. I genuinely, and that's not just trainer speak, I would struggle to split the two of them, which is nice going to a big race like that.
And this weekend's Henry Cecil Open weekend in Newmarket ties in with the ongoing National Racehorse Week. It's all going ahead right the weekend. Obviously, there's been plenty going on, but Sunday should be a big day in Newmarket and all systems go.
Yeah, we had a committee meeting yesterday Monday, and we just wanted to take the weekend to gauge public opinion of whether the weekend, you know, would be appropriate for the weekend to go ahead. And at a committee meeting on Monday, everyone was unanimous that it was the right thing to do. We want to very much make it a celebration of the Queen's, you know, the part the Queen has played in racing for the last, gosh, however many years. There will also be a 2-minute silence and a rendition of God Save the King before the events on the Severals in the afternoon. And we've got a few other things that we're going to try and do as well that will hopefully celebrate the Queen in a respectful way. So we're looking forward to doing it. Horses cantering on Warren Hill from 8 o'clock in the morning, Bayeed being the principal name amongst them, but there'll be horses from John Gosden's yard, Sir Michael Stout, I think there's a few others as well. And then the yards open from 9 o'clock. Got some great yards opening. Fanshawe, Dunlop, myself, of course. Hello. Roger Varian, you want to go and see a Ledger winner? Go. He's being paraded at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning in Roger's yard. So plenty of stuff going on. It should be a really, really good weekend. And don't forget, raising money for charity too.
Quite right. Sounds fab. Charlie, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tom.
Yes, good luck to everyone involved with the Henry Cecil Open weekend this weekend. As I say, it is all part of National Racehorse Week, which runs until the 18th of September. And I'm pleased to say that John Blake joins me now, who is the chief executive of Racing to School and Racing Together as well, John. And one thing we've seen in the trade paper and elsewhere on social media this week has been all the community events that have been running and that I know Great British Racing were keen to sort of promote throughout this National Racehorse Week and build upon compared to last year. It looks as though they've all been brilliantly received.
Yes, so far so good, Tom. Good morning. I mean, it's a privilege for us wearing our sort of Racing Together hat that covers all the sports community engagement and specifically for some of our Racing to School days to be part of the second National Racehorse Week. And you know, it's been going very well. I mean, one event in particular that took place on Monday was the opportunity for some people to go to the Paul Nichols Yard, and they came to us through the Blue Light Ticket Scheme. Listeners may be aware of that scheme. It's wonderful. It allows free access to NHS and emergency services staff to all sorts of events, not just racing, wider sports and all sorts of cultural events as well. And the sport has teamed up with that scheme, and the consequence of which was to get to one of our, if not the top, National Head Yard in the country on Monday. And that was that went down a storm, as they say, and that was one over about 30 community engagement events. I mean, another one we have on Friday, for example, is an ongoing program we're doing with the Greatwood Charity and the Training of Racehorses, the IOR charity, which is really part of a wider drive across the sport, really, to take ex-racehorses out into community settings. So in this case, it's to a care home at Marlborough, who we know, the residents of which we know very much look forward to their to meeting Uzbek, who's a pretty decent chaser and his hurdler and chaser in his day, and he's brilliant with people. So that's another opportunity to sort of get horses out to people, because not everyone can come into the sport through National Racehorse Week. So they're just two events sort of bookending this week. And of course, our Racing to School days as well. We've diverted children from running around the race courses to hopefully beautifully behaved in various training yards. This week we very pleased to be hosted by the Kooblers yesterday. Lambourne Primary School were there, and those Kooblers very kindly hosted us last year as well. And on Friday we're off to Manor House, which of course is Hugo Palmer's yard, for a day there. We'll probably do about 8 Race to School days in and around this week, but you know, it's great that we can still do the educational work that Race to School is charged to do, but in a wonderful setting, the trainer's yard, and to contribute to the really aims of National Racehorse Week, is to show obviously how horses are beautifully looked after and cared for and loved, you know, whatever their abilities, whatever their performance on the track, that they're all treated the same and cared for in such a way. And that, for young people in particular, I think is such an eye-opener and hopefully very inspirational for them.
And I feel, John, it's almost gone a little bit further than that, whether by design or not. But yes, it highlights how well cared for that we within the sport know that these racehorses are. But I think we've also seen throughout this week, as we did last year as well, just how moving it can be for some people, whatever stage of life they're in, whatever battles they are fighting, to connect with a horse, particularly those who haven't done so before. Tell me what it's like, perhaps with your Racing to School hat on, when you see a youngster who hasn't really been around a horse, or when they are up front with half a ton of animal for the first time. I think we within the industry take it for granted a little.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. I mean, the wow factor, it never gets old. It absolutely never gets old to see that through the eyes of 9-year-olds up to early teenagers, really, in terms of Racing to School days. I mean, you know, it's well recorded that there's so few young people have any interaction with, you know, dare I say it, a regular horse, let alone a thoroughbred. I mean, we'll see a lot of horses on the television probably the next few days, and ceremonial horses, police horses, etc. And that's probably the closest that, you know, a lot of people of all ages will get to horses. But you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of you know, at a race and to school day, if you like, at a race course, we would often go to the stabling to see the horses come through off the lorries and then going through the microchipping checks, etc. And that really is a wow moment. And then we follow them, obviously, as they pre-parade, and then the screaming and shouting that accompanies them when they're racing out on the track. Often, very funnily, where the children think they only go one lap sometimes on national hunt races, and they're screaming them home, realizing they have to go around again. So there's a great interaction there, and it's always a good comedy moment. But there's always great interaction there, and even in places like Newmarket, where we work with our partners on the Newmarket Beacon there. The children may see horses as they go to sort of school or whatever, but they wouldn't necessarily have any greater connection than you know, if you lived in the middle of an inner city somewhere. So I think it's you know, you never lose that ability to wow a child into being able to learn about the horse and realize of, you know, how friendly horses are as long as you don't scare the younger ones. And that's a very magical part of it. And obviously to bring that International Racehorse Week for us to go into yards and be invited very kindly by trainers into yards is you know, 10 times that.
John, lovely stuff. I hope the rest of the week goes well. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Tom. Great to speak to you.
Jane, some news out of the jumping world yesterday. Interview with Sky Sports Racing, Ollie Murphy revealed that he and Aidan Coleman would be parting ways when it comes to Aidan riding all of his horses. They will still partner up a good bit together, and Sean Bowen will take up more opportunities at the yard. Sean and Ollie Murphy had a good bit of success together last year. Ollie suggested that is something with regards to him and Aidan that is going to fit them both pretty well.
Yes, basically Ollie said for him and his business, he felt that Aidan as a stable jockey going forward wasn't the right thing to do. It seems a very amicable, it's not a parting because Aidan is riding out there during this week, but it's an arrangement going forward. And I think a lot of national hunt trainers, if they haven't already made such arrangements, they will be putting things in place because, you know, we are heading into Listowel week next week. And you know what that means? That means winter horses are very much in tune and will be making their reappearances soon. So Ollie Murphy is a stable that continues to grow and grow in quality as well as quantity. And he wants to have everything right. Sean Bowen is enjoying a really, really productive summer. And it'll be interesting that his announcement could be the first of a number we see now that everybody's putting their chess players in place before making any moves.
And staying with the jumping game, Danny Mullins is one of a few European riders out in the States at the moment in New York, riding for pretty big money out there. I spoke to him late last night, my time, with regard to what he was hoping to achieve out there. And of course, at the end, we touched on Flooring Porter.
Yeah, so I've been coming to America riding a bit over the last couple of years, and this year I've ridden a couple of times for Kerry Bryan. She's doing very well on the jump racing scene over here. And there's a horse I rode a couple of weeks ago in Saratoga, Going Country. He's going to run again. I was second on him in a grade one in Saratoga. And I ride another horse called Ass Paddington. There's two jump races in Aqueduct Saturday or Thursday evening. So, yeah, hopefully it'll run well.
With regard to the track, Danny, just, I mean, how would it compare to what we're used to seeing over here, conditions-wise, how it rides, etc.?
I suppose it's different enough, you know. They're pretty much level tracks. The hunt meets would be pretty much like point to points, but when you're on the actual racetrack in the likes of Belmont, Saratoga, Aqueduct, they're pretty level tracks. Fast ground, left-handed, and yeah, it's maybe I'm trying to think of an English track that would compare, maybe something like Newbury, you know, but not as long a straight or that, but a big level track. But the ground is the main difference. It's just so fast over here.
Danny, good luck out there on horseback. As far as your time back home goes, I've been seeing a lot of you on social media on four wheels. Tell me about the driving you've been doing.
Yeah, it's it's something that I got into last year. Andy Hayes brought me for a day's testing with a couple of rally cars, and it opened my eyes. I was the first day I got into a WRC car with Josh Moffat. It frightened the daylights out of me. And after that, I thought, I really want to get a go at this. And so I went last year and I got my license to drive in rallies. And it turned out then that the Wexford rally this year happened to be on Champions Weekend and there was no jump racing. So I went about hiring a car and I wanted to drive in it. So it was a great experience all around.
It turns out you're pretty good, right? You know what you're doing.
Well, I wouldn't have been, you know, a young fella that was into cars or anything. It was all, you know, ponies and that as I was growing up. And then the first time I drove a rally car was last week, about 7 days before the actual race itself. I think I got about 2 kilometres up the road and I broke the drive shaft and the car had to be towed back to the carriage. The lads were looking at me thinking, what is going to happen to this fellow when he goes out in a race? But thankfully the mechanics got it fixed. I got a proper day's testing about 2 days before the race, and then down to Wexford, I had a very experienced navigator with me, Michal Maher. He's actually a neighbour of Mouse Morris, the trainer, so Mouse was laughing beforehand, saying that Michal was very nervous, but thankfully it worked out well over the weekend.
So where does it go from here? Is this just something you're doing over the summer? Is it something else that you might pursue going forward for a bit of fun, for a bit of adrenaline, or what?
I think I'd love to do it again. I suppose the thing is that getting time to do it, you know, we race most weekends and all the rallying is pretty much done at the weekend. But I think, you know, I spoke to a few of the other jockeys in Ireland and that, and they were full of questions asking, you know, how I went about getting my license and organising to do the race and stuff. So, you know, I think possibly next year maybe more than me that might want to give it a go. And you know, if I could organise that the 2 days racing in Wexford for the rally could be on Champions Weekend next year, that'd be a great summer target as well, because it's an unbelievable buzz to drive cars at that kind of speed.
Listen, I need to you know, naturally I wouldn't be forgiven if I didn't ask you about one of the stars of last year over jumps, and we're all getting into jumps mode again. Florian Porter, what's going on with Florian Porter? I see on your Instagram you've been to see him recently.
Yeah, so I was up in Gavin's the other day. The Toad guys followed me to do a documentary on the rally, so hopefully that'll be some exciting viewing. And we went to see Florian Porter. He looks in great shape. Gavin said it's probably the strongest he's ever came in from a summer break, and I'd imagine the plan would be to follow a similar path to last year, that race at Navan, Christmas, Cheltenham, and see how that goes. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting year. I think, you know, try to win 3 stairs hurdles together will be difficult, but it looks like well within his grasp, and hopefully all goes to plan and he can get there and give it a go.
Great stuff. Listen, enjoy New York first and foremost, and we'll catch up when you're back. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks a million, Tom.
Danny's seemingly in good form, enjoying his time out in the States, Jane, and he suggests Florian Porter is all well, and they're looking forward to kicking on again this season. I haven't been in jumping mode, but that conversation just sort of piqued my interest again when you talk about one of the stars of last season.
Yeah, it whets the appetite, doesn't it? And Danny, he's, as everybody knows, he's a hard grafter, but he's as mad as a brush as well. So to see him driving cars around rally tracks is no surprise to me at all. And that's a hobby he's always been keen in. So good to see him actually making that a reality. But to come back with horses like Florian Porter waiting for you, and, you know, I'm sure his uncle Willie will give him plenty of good chances, as well as his parents, Tony and Mags. Danny is a lot to look forward to, and he's got the ability to boot. So, yeah, I know we're over Irish Champions weekend and we're already talking jumping, but the transition again now will start. I know every March after Cheltenham, we have to make the slow transition into classic trials, and this is very much it in the reverse.
There's a big Thoroughbred sale this Friday. It's a record size catalogue for Thoroughbred, and the CEO, James Richardson, joins me now. James, welcome along. What can we expect this Friday?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me, Tom. Pleasure to be on the show. Yeah, look, we've got a good mix, actually, which I think sort of reflects what we're trying to sort of do, which is, you know, provide an outlet for people to sell when they want to. We've got 25 horses in training, 11 brood mares, 8 of which are sold with foals at the foot, and then 7 young stock. So a really good mix.
And it's a sign, obviously, that the company, and in particular this way of buying and selling horses, is clearly growing in popularity with the record size catalogue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're hearing a lot in the racing news sort of in recent months about the fact that, you know, racing's got to adapt and everything else. And I think if we look at our counterparts down the southern hemisphere in Australia, you know, it's booming. I think they, admittedly, you know, COVID probably has expedited the sort of progress, but you know, it's huge down there. And I think you know, it's definitely got a place, and it's where you know, the future lies. I think certainly for, you know, the horses in training and brood mares. You know, the industry is a global market, and I think, you know, this enables you to sell to the world without needing the world to come to you.
And am I right in saying it's about a year to the day since the first ever sale?
It is, yeah. I think it's amazing how quickly time flies when you get your nose to the grindstone. But yeah, no, look, we're delighted. You know, we've managed to get sort of 10 sales under our belt, and this is our 11th. So, you know, it's great. It's a very exciting challenge, and obviously, you know, it's great that we're being supported by big names in the game. You know, we've got horses from Race Beckett, Race Now Sold, I think it's 3 sales with us, Charlie Hills, Willie Mullins. We've got a consignment of 6 two-year-olds from France, which, you know, just shows you, you know, what we can achieve. You know, we're selling horses from 3 different countries in one catalogue. And it's really exciting.
Bidding starts from 9 a.m. on Friday. And James, if anyone wants to see the catalogue, they can head to your website and do so, I take it.
Yeah, basically it's www.thoroughbred.co.uk, and you'll hopefully see what we've got. And like I say, you know, I think there's something for everyone in there. You know, we might even get yet. Yeah, we've had some updates this week because we had the 2 of the French horses won on Sunday at Strasbourg, Rosie Rocket, and then we had Rosie Rocket won on Tuesday at Leon Parry over 5 furlongs, and then Sodapop won on Sunday. And Menai Bridge, who I think is probably the standout of the sort of horse in training, he runs again in the racing league tomorrow night, and he won last time out at Newcastle. He's rated 89, and he's got no better man than Frankie on his back yet again. So I think, you know, probably it was a lure for Frankie to go up to Newcastle on a Thursday night. So we're hopeful that he'll run well. And like I say, the other one I think that definitely, you know, I think could be a nice type is Keep Bidding, which is Ribchester 2-year-old of Race Beckett's, very aptly named. She's been placed in all 4 of her starts at 2, so she looks like she should get ahead in front very soon.
Cheers, James. Hope it all goes well.
Tom, you're a star. Thank you.
Okay, Hong Kong is very much back on the agenda, and it's back on the NLD2. Here's the croc.
Greetings, one and all. Yes, Hong Kong is back. Welcome to our regular Wednesday slot on Nick Luck Daily. The new season began on a positive note on Sunday. A total of 1.4 billion Hong Kong dollars was bet, the second highest first day turnover figure ever recorded. I know, it's telephone numbers, and modern telephone numbers at that. And if my calculations are correct, that's £140 million. There are still tough COVID restrictions in Hong Kong. Hotel quarantine is down to 3 days for foreign visitors, but there's still a cap on crowds at the races. The maximum 8,500 were in attendance, but they were enthusiastic and provided some atmosphere for those watching. The star of the show was Lucky Swainess on Sunday, a New Zealand-bred four-year-old who made it 6 from 8 when taking the feature, the Chief Executive's Cup. And that signalled the return of Sylvester D'Souza, who has set out his stall attractively for the season ahead. Sylvester also copped a 3-day suspension for careless riding. He tightened them up at the first turn. It was deserved, by the way, but that's unlikely to impede him too much. He's returned on a successful note, and that's what counts most with owners and punters. The first of the Wednesday meetings takes place at Happy Valley today. 8 races under lights, and I'm tipping a new star will consolidate his growing reputation with a double. And I refer to Lyle Hewitson, a triple South African champion jockey, who has a couple of cracking rides, namely Valiant Elegance, race 3, number 2, and Big 2, who is race 6, number 2. Big 2, who carries the well-known Keswick family colours, looks the one to beat in the Community Chess Cup. He broke his duck finally over course and distance towards the end of last season. He's still on a good mark, and he'll be hard to beat again with the talented Hewitson aboard. Hewitson's other big ride, Valiant Elegance in race 3, well, that shows plenty of pace, and from gate number 1 should be up there all the way in this 1,000-metre 5-furlong dash. Another one to note on the card is race 5, that's number 4, Hardly Swears, being saddled up by the new trainer, Pierre Ng. Now, Pierre is the son of Peter Mbakun, who was a pretty successful trainer going back a decade or so ago, so he knows the ropes well. And Zach Purton, who started with a winning treble on Sunday, he's in the saddle. It's the most significant jockey booking of the meeting. That's race 5, number 4, Hardly Swears. So that's Hong Kong this week on the beat, and we'll be back again next week.
Jane, where would you like to go for your tip today?
I am going to the coast, and I'm going to Yarmouth in the 310. The John Musker Filly Stakes has attracted a big field, 14 runners, including an Irish raider from Jessica Harrington's yard in Sierra Nevada. But I think, as we mentioned, Ryan Moore, back with his old adversary, Sir Michael Stout, Ville de Grasse has been hitting the crossbar this season. I think she might just hit the back of the net at 320.
Jane, thank you very much indeed. Thanks to everyone at home for listening today. As Nick's mentioned, we're all back up on Apple Podcasts now, which is good news. So if you've missed any over the last week or so, and I know plenty of people over in Ireland mentioning to me while I was over there that they had indeed missed it on Apple Podcasts, then it should all be in your library now, so you can go back and listen away. That was Wednesday, the 14th of September. Bye-bye.